Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, July 17th, 2016. So I have been told this is our global Sunday talk on racism, certainly featuring listeners, investors from all over the world to offer their views, perspective on racism, white supremacy. It has been a congested 30 days since we were last on air with the Brexit vote and the stream of racism, white supremacy that unleashed. David Cameron, the former prime minister over in Britain, stepping down. Theresa May, a suspected racist, taking his place. The attack in France this past week, the massive attack in Iraq that left over 200 dead. That was just a few weeks ago as well, with all of the incidents that have been happening here in the U.S. The Olympics are just days away down in Brazil. There have just been tons of things happening all around the world directly related to white supremacy, racism. We will start with the shooting that happened just this morning, literally hours ago, down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Certainly, this is a fluid event, as they call it. We can start because some of the folks that are with us already, they said that they were already paying attention to this event, where three officers have been reported dead. Other officers have been reported injured. I have not seen any reports at this point, and it is 12 noon Pacific, 3:05 Eastern Time. Louisiana is Central Time, so it would be 2:05 Central Time, Sunday, July 17th. The most recent reports that I saw just before we went on air, they did not have a suspect captured. I think they said the one report that I saw that there were multiple suspects in this shooting. I even saw one report where there were three alleged gunmen. They had one suspect, I believe, was dead on the scene, I believe, and the other two, they were still searching. Again, this is very fluid, so, you know, who knows what the final narrative in this will look like, and this is very close to when it happened. So, I mean, you know, you can, all of that is suspect at this point in terms of what the final report will be. What I will say, because we normally have an audio clip at the beginning of the program to start things off, and the reason we do not is because I wanted to take just a few short minutes, and then we can transition right to including our other speakers. Folks that I talked to around the world, they were talking about the shooting in Louisiana and how that the ramifications that will happen as a result of this event. But what I wanted to take time to say was that consistently on this program, I say, racism, white supremacy is war. Anyone who has been to my blog, racism-notes.blogspot.com, the title is Racism is War. That's the way that we should think about this. All areas of people activity, racist man, racist woman, racist child, they are waging war against black people. We should be serious. Our behavior, our thought, speech, action and the way that we control, manage our emotions should reflect, in my view, a high level of seriousness when we are talking about this problem of racism, white supremacy. It doesn't mean that you have to be mechanical. It doesn't mean that you can never laugh or have a joke, but there should be a high level of seriousness, especially when we start talking about death. Black people dying, racists dying, anyone dying, any loss of life, it is extremely serious. I wanted to take time to address, once again, because I said it earlier on the program this week, because I had been seeing over the last, 2 weeks now since the incident in Dallas, people putting up on their social media accounts their profile picture or their background photograph, having it be Micah Xavier Johnson. This is the black male who is the suspected alleged shooter in Dallas, Texas, about 10 days ago, with the five enforcement officials who died, putting his photograph up. And again, I said, I went back this week. I listened to Dr. Frances Cress Welsing when she was talking about Christopher Dorner, because I saw some of the same behaviors then. That was the black male in 2013 who allegedly went on the rampage in California and shot and killed several enforcement officials, as well as some civilians, including a black male who was not affiliated with the Los Angeles Police Department at all. But I went back and listened to her audio, and she said that she would hope that black people could not be emotional. She could understand that a lot of black people, in our frustration about racism, white supremacy, that we get angry, that we feel like a lot of times we don't see black people confronting, standing up courageously to white supremacists. And so anytime that we see any expression that even looks like it is a black person being confident, standing up, confronting racist man, racist woman, racist child, that's something. Sorry about that. Some of the other people that are joining the call, I will add them once we're done. This is a great lesson about being timely for anything having to do with racism, white supremacy. You should be on time. That is extremely important. So I will ring them once I'm done with my commentary. But Dr. Welsing, she was saying that she understands that anytime we see anything that looks like a manifestation of black self-respect and a black person, male or female, standing up to confront racists, that we want to be excited about that. And, you know, our emotions sometimes can get the best of us in these situations when there's some sort of allegation report that a black person has went and shot enforcement officials. I would encourage, really make sure that you are not, you know, responding in an emotional manner. Really make sure that you take time to investigate to see if what is being reported is true, because the major weapon that racists use is deception. It's very easy for them to lie and make up anything about these incidents. As I'm saying right now, even if it's not outright purposeful deception, a lot of times when you have these shooting incidents, it takes a while to get all the accurate information. If you follow any of these events, a lot of times they will be saying things in the first 24 hours. It turns out that that's not true at all. Now, whether that's deliberate deception or whether they just got some of the facts wrong, you will see a lot of that with any of these events. So it's not the type of thing that should be taken lightly, just because anytime you have loss of life, that is serious. Anytime you're talking about racism, that is serious. And anytime that we think racists might be involved, let's really slow down and make an evaluation to make sure what is being presented is logical, is accurate, underline that heavily, accurate, and makes sense. And I would submit these shootings and what have you, they should be evaluated very closely, particularly anytime you have reports that the black person that they're saying did this, they're not going to have a trial. So it's not like we're going to have months of investigating where you can go through and get all of the details. No trial in the situation in Dallas with Micah Xavier Johnson. He's dead now. He's not going to get to tell his side of the story if he was involved in this at all. That's why I consistently say alleged shooter. It's not like he's going to be convicted in a court of law with any of these incidents. You don't know all the information. I don't think most people have a private investigator that they can go send down to Dallas and do a lot of investigating and fact-finding and then come back with a detailed report of information. I don't think most of the non-white people are in that position. They're just going to have to go based on what they read in the New York Times or the Washington Post or wherever they get their information from. You're going to be dependent on racists for what they have to say. And as I've said before, sometimes they tell the truth. Many times they do not. At the end of the day, I would encourage not just jumping up and being emotional just because you think this black person might have responded to go after race soldiers in Dallas or whatever happened in Louisiana. It's too early to tell. It's not the sort of thing that you just want to be careless and reckless about. I would look long term in terms of what problems these events are going to solve for black people. Even if Micah Xavier Johnson did this thing, he was upset about racism as a black person and went and did this. I just haven't seen where that has solved any problems for black people. Maybe I missed that. Regardless of how this thing evolves and what actually happened in Louisiana and Baton Rouge this morning, I haven't seen where this is solving any problems for black people. We'll have to see how that evolves, but that's something that I would keep in the forefront of our mind. Also, I would not encourage people, regardless of how you feel about it, if you're happy, if you're pleased, whatever you think, if you think this is working against racism, I would encourage not being on social media, talking recklessly, using Micah Xavier Johnson's photograph as your profile pic or anything else. I just played that report yesterday where they were saying Facebook enforcement officials, they are closely scrutinizing social media accounts, what people are saying, what people are posting, anything that looks like you might be suggesting that you are happy or pleased about or encouraging violence against enforcement officials. They are looking to take that very seriously and have made problems for black people, including arresting them and what have you. This is post 9/11 territory. Any of that can be looked at as, oh, you are supporting terrorist activity. You are supporting violence against enforcement officials. And they already have cases where they have went after people who were doing just that sort of thing. I even had someone on my Facebook page just literally minutes before we went live who was saying that maybe it's maximum emergency compensatory action on display in Louisiana this morning. And I told this person, you should read Mr. Fuller's concept. You should read his book where that concept is explained in detail. It's in the war section of the code book. It is the thickest section of the code book. And he explains in detail. This is not something to just be, you know, running where you don't have all the information. You don't have all the details. You don't know anything about the shooter. You don't know anything about the victims. To just be, you know, throwing this concept around. It is the longest part of the code book. And I would just encourage people this. I mean, if we're serious in terms of our dedication to counter racism, putting racist man, racist woman out of business, that should be reflected in our behavior. This is not something to take lightly. Loss of life is never something to take lightly. It's not something to jump up and down and celebrate. Regardless of what you think or how you feel, that's total racist programming. They celebrate and get happy about death all the time. That's not something that should be reflected in our behavior. And you do not want to be putting yourself in a position where racists can make it easier to come after you. And I am of the opinion that some of these events, it could be coordinated specifically for that effect, to ultimately go after black people. We've already even seen some of that. You've heard some of the rhetoric since the shooting in Dallas, some of you all, I think, that Black Lives Matter, they should be reclassified as a terrorist organization. The black people that are going out engaging in this rhetoric, including President Obama, they're terrorists. They're creating this anti-police sentiment, this war on cops, and they are to blame. I have been saying, that's my assessment of all of this, that I think a lot of this is going to be used to attack, to go after black people that are trying to do something against racism, white supremacy. That should be factored into the way that we think, speak, act, control our emotions on a constant basis, and not just being reckless with the way that we talk, the way that we act, even on social media, because that is hugely important. Other people are watching it, and I would just conclude, we didn't make social media. We didn't make Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of these platforms. Racists made them for themselves to maintain their system of domination over us. That should be kept in mind at all times. I will stop there. People didn't tune into this program to hear Gus ramble on. We'll bring in our other listeners and folks that dialed in, we already should have Mary and Mr. Fox with us. Are both of you all with us?
Yes.
Outstanding. I will get our caller in Canada as well. Mr. Fox, you with us, sir?
Yeah. Andrew rang in whilst you were talking, and I told him that you're going to add him after you've done your talking.
Oh, right on. Awesome. I'm adding all the folks now. Second, punctuality is important. Timely is important. Yes, sir. We can hear you as well. Let's see. Making sure I didn't miss anybody. Okay. I'm trying to get Lorraine with us as well. And our caller in Norway. So I missed one person. Got one more person to nab. We should have lots of folks today.
Hello?
Is that you, Lorraine?
It is, yeah.
Awesome. Glad to have you with us. And I think we have one more person to add. I will look to nab them while I'm here. I guess I will start with Mary. She was with us at the very beginning. With the shooting situation, I think both Mary and Mr. Fox, I think both of you said that you had been seeing about the shooting in Louisiana already this morning. What are your thoughts on what you have seen and how you think that is going to, the ramifications under the system of white supremacy?
I don't know enough to even talk about it at this stage, because it's just a report that people have been shot, and that's all that I know. The ramifications could either go one of two ways. There could be more viciousness, or there could be a reconsideration of what's been going on.
What do you mean, a reconsideration?
Maybe officials could reconsider what this may mean about the way that they've been acting.
You mean like enforcement officers, police officers reconsidering their conduct towards black people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. To maybe practice justice and stop mistreating black people?
I think they might, I don't know about that. Maybe they could, they may want to regroup and what's the words I'm trying to find? They may think about, you know, like what happened in New York, where they eased off for a bit to see what was going to happen. And because there's been two incidents in short succession, that they may want to recalibrate what they're doing, for want of better words.
Fascinating.
May do.
Right on. I know we do have a good number of listeners in New York. They might take issue with the notion of NYPD having backed off at some point over the last year or so since Eric Garner and all that, in their mistreatment of black people. But perhaps they can chime in to share a thought. Mr. Fox, and I think we should have many more folks with us now. Mr. Fox, any thoughts? You said you also had been looking at some of the details of the shooting this morning.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it because not much information has come through regarding what the suspect actually looks like. But from the questions of it, I see white people basically counterattacking, because I think the worst type of white person is the scared white person, especially looking at the history of it as well. So I don't see police actually backing down or going to treat black people with justice within the United States, no matter if it's in the North or South. I see the fear increasing, and I think it's going to be looked upon as being justified for whatever dramatic effect or counterattack or action that they want to actually do towards black people, because the narrative now is, you know, well, the narrative as it was before, that it was a war on the police, but now you've had, in the space of what is it, a week or a week and a half, you've had two separate incidents of multiple police officers being shot. So actually do see that if anything was actually put on hold regarding new police technology or the militarization of the police, which was probably put on the back burner before, I can see this being put forward now, especially with drone technology and just more arms for local police force.
But can I just add in that they already have enacted in the Supreme Court with Judge Sotomayor descending on the decision that they can use any means to get you now. That's already in South Carolina. Is it North Carolina? It's already in the southern states that they can just get you when they want to. So they're already doing that anyway.
I think we should have our full complement of international listeners in with us. I think I heard Lorraine. I think Andrew, are you with us now, sir?
Yes, I'm with you. Hi, everybody.
Greetings. Good to hear from you, sir. African 1884, our caller in Austria, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone.
Your volume is a little low, sir, if you could speak up for us.
Yes, I am. Good evening, everybody.
Much better, much better. Good to hear from you, sir.
Yes.
Let's see. Our caller in Norway, are you with us, sir? Not sure. He might not be. Might not be with us. I'll double check once we have him back. People that we have not heard from, people that joined us a little bit later. We started with the shooting in Louisiana, even though that's something that's happening in the states, but folks, it seemed internationally, have been paying attention to these shootings that have been happening in the U.S. over the past month or so. I am picking up some background noise. I guess if you are on your computer, if you're, or however you're accessing the program, if you could just watch the background noise, I encourage folks to use mute button if you're not talking, just to preserve the quality of the program, make it easier for folks to hear everybody, and then you can just unmute yourself when you are ready to speak. I can't mute anyone's line because you're all on my Skype line, so I can't do anything about it from my end. But the people that we have not heard from, if you all are aware of the shooting that happened in Louisiana this morning, if you have any thoughts on that or how you think this is going to shift the focus or the attack, if you will, under the system of white supremacy.
No, I'm not aware of the shooting that happened this morning, you said?
Yes, sir.
I'm not aware of that, no.
There was a shooting this morning in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge. Now, this is the same city, interestingly, or importantly, this is the same city where Alton Sterling, the black male who was shot just earlier this month, he was shot where he was on the ground. They had him handcuffed. One of the enforcement officers said that he thought he had a gun, or he had a gun in his pocket or what have you, and they shot him while they had him face down on the ground, shot him and killed him. I believe some of his family members were there and saw this. So this is one of the major shootings that they've been talking about over the last 2 weeks here in this part of the world. So there was a shooting in the same city, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There was a shooting this morning at approximately, I think it was about 9 a.m. Central Time.
Right.
So that would be like 5 in the afternoon your time that this happened very recently. Three enforcement officers have been reportedly shot and killed. And there were several other officers that were injured. The reports that I've seen, this is real fluid. I was watching the news before we went live, but they said that one of the shooting suspects is deceased, allegedly, and then they are still looking for the other suspects. But that's since we went live, and who knows what the final report will look like. But that's just some of the information I've seen thus far.
Literally, I've just turned over the TV, and I can see on this is CNN now, CNN Live, and they're talking about it right now. I didn't know about it until this very second as you're talking about it. Right, but you know, to be honest, it doesn't surprise me that people are going out and killing policemen, because you know, at the end of the day, you know, people are going to, you know, some people will get sick and tired of policemen continually. People, you know, how long is that meant to go on for? And are black people meant to just sit there and take it? You know, so chickens do come home to roost. That's natural. That's nature, isn't it? Really, that's natural law. So,
Let's see. I'm just trying to get everyone, if they want to get commentary on that. So we heard from Mary, Mr. Fox, Andrew. We have African 1884. Were you aware? You're in Austria. Make sure we kind of know where people are calling from. I think all three people that we've heard from thus far in the UK. African 1884, are you aware of the shooting? Your thoughts?
Yes, I'm aware of it. A friend of mine just sent me a link to the whole report. And, I mean, frankly speaking, I don't have a comment in regard to that. You know, I just think, just like the gentleman mentioned, that I think there's going to be a time where black people are going to have to retaliate. And I think it's going to be now. But I just don't know how long this is going to go on and stuff, and what's going to happen. You know, I mean, once is this going to go on, like, continuously, where black people will be ready and active just to pick up arms and retaliate, or is this just something that's just going to happen just this time around? And then that's all I have to say, you know.
Lorraine, also in, oh, I'm echoing somebody. If you have a speakerphone, maybe if you can make sure you're using not hearing it now. Outstanding. I'll try to prompt about the background noise if it's an issue, but we should be good now. Lorraine, you are in the UK. Were you aware of the shooting? Did you have any thoughts?
I received a WhatsApp message not too long ago. I didn't get a chance to have a look at it, but you just don't know when these police officers will shoot their own people anyway, just so that they can actually stop the world from getting involved in this protest or whatever you want to call it. You know, so who is the person that's been accused of shooting? Is it a black person?
I haven't seen any information about if it was a black person, if it was a white person. They haven't identified the officers that were shot, if they were white, if they were non-white. Like, I haven't seen any of those identifying details at this point.
I really don't like this Black Lives Matter thing anyway. I think that the whole thing demasculinizes the black male. The fact that it's showing black male as vulnerable, being killed by police. The fact that people have to step in to protect black people's lives. All of that, I really don't like it. It's making us look like we're passive, like we can't look after ourselves. I don't like seeing white people marching with us, trying to distract us, trying to make us think that we're safe in their company, that they've got our backs. I don't like the whole thing.
I thought you were talking about the protest that they had in Birmingham, over in the UK, not Birmingham, Alabama, and London even. This was this month, this was very recent, where they had multiple protests happening about these shootings that were happening in the U.S., and they had that was under the name Black Lives Matter in the UK. I thought that you saw that. Did you think what was happening over there was constructive with the protests?
I'm not into protests. I'm not into marches. I'm into boycott, and that's where I would like to go. But people are not ready for that. People want to gather. I don't like it. I've seen video footages of it, and I've seen people looking like they're having fun. You know, I've seen white people walking around, hi, you okay? You know, socializing, looking like they've forgotten what it's all about. There are individuals who are serious, and I respect them for going out there and pushing their thoughts forward. This thing, it's throughout the whole country. Lots and lots of different towns and cities have been involved doing their own little thing. And I understand the individuals that are involved in it. They do believe that they're doing the right thing. But to me, if you're going to make a change, boycott. You pick one place, you all agree on that one place. When you bring that place down, you move on to the next one. That's how you make the change. Hit them in the pocket.
Has there been discussion from black people, non-white people in your area about, hey, let's pick out some establishments to boycott. Let's try to get more black people actively about, you know, we're not going to spend our coins with these racist businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a discussion and it was agreed. Well, it wasn't agreed, but a particular business was discussed. And it seems to me that that business was... They moved away from that business and chose another one for economic reasons. But this particular business would have been ideal because they have connections both here in the UK as well as America. But unfortunately, you know, the one that they've chosen, they chose for a 30-day boycott. You can't have a 30-day boycott. It has to be a permanent boycott, you know. So they've made the first move. We'll do the 30 days, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Wow. Mary, did you have commentary you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was in a location last Sunday, and I saw the actual march going past, the Black Lives Matter march go past, and I have to agree with Lorraine. Marches and protesting is actually not effective because there's no action behind it. Everyone turns up and then they go home and nothing's been achieved. So I agree, there's nothing constructive about that. And also, it's just symbolism. It doesn't make anyone feel sorry for you. It doesn't actually affect anyone. It's economics, like what Lorraine was saying. But I'd go a step further and say that we should go beyond boycotting. We should look to make some changes 100% permanent. So if we find a local black business, like I have found one, then you go there first before you go anywhere else. So we should look to make permanent lifestyle changes. In fact, Lorraine did say boycotting should be permanent. So yeah, you make permanent lifestyle choices. And yeah, I would agree with her with what she's saying.
I know in Louisiana, that was something that was discussed immediately after the Alton Sterling shooting. And I think they have put that into action in terms of boycotting some local businesses until, you know, they feel like things have changed significantly. There's been a sizable improvement for the black people in that part of Louisiana. But I know that was being discussed immediately after the Alton Sterling shooting. Some of our other callers, did you want to address either the what's been happening on the UK end in terms of the protests that have been happening over there in connection with these shootings of black people in the United States, or just other commentary that's been happening over there around the shootings in the US?
Yeah, Gus, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to ask because you mentioned that there have been a decision with black people in a particular state in America not to boycott certain businesses. And I was also hearing, because I had saw a video, what's his name, Killer Mike, and he was trying to advocate that African Americans withdraw their money from white-owned banks and they deposit into black-owned banks. Now, my question is that also something that's going to be, is that going to be permanent and everything, where people just, you know, just start depositing or saving their money in black-owned banks and not in white-owned banks? Because you said the boycott of the businesses might be just a temporary thing, you know, they might just go back again. I don't understand.
I heard about the Killer Mike. This was within the last 2 weeks. I think this was this month, and apparently it had a sizable impact. In terms of getting a large number of black people to remove their funds or deposit funds into a black-owned bank in Atlanta, Georgia. And even the people at the bank tweeted out, and they gave him a lot of credit. They said it had a huge impact for them personally. In terms of, is this going to be a permanent thing? I don't know. I think that's hugely important. I mean, going back to kind of some of my comments at the beginning, if we're serious, and some of this might come down to what is our understanding of racism, white supremacy, if we think that white people are going to alter their behavior and stop being racist if we just do this for a week or a month or whatever, you know, time frame, something other than a permanent shift in how we financially invest and where we spend our money, how we use our time and energy. Some of it might just come down to how you understand whites. What's your understanding of racism? Most of the time, I don't hear people talking about a permanent boycott of white-owned businesses and permanently looking to make sure that we are using black banks, black businesses, and trying to minimize as much as we can under the system, you know, spending our money with whites. I would have to dig more into the Killer Mike situation. Are they using the language and making sure that they emphasize this is a permanent economic shift, as well as with what's happening in Louisiana? Is this a permanent economic shift, or is this just something that we're doing for a short period of time?
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I did want to emphasize really quick as well. I thought the point that was made earlier was really important. I think that was Lorraine. You can correct me if I'm wrong, that It's difficult to even know sometimes with who's doing these shootings. That's why I said I don't celebrate. It's not anything I would jump up and down about if they say, oh, a black person did this or Michael Xavier Johnson did this, just because they lie a lot. And I'm of the opinion, I've seen where whites, they can coordinate these shootings. They don't mind having a white sacrifice here or there, where it shifts sympathy. It can get people where they might have been looking to organize and do something about racism, where now they won't do so. And I'm talking about black people, where they might have been looking to do that. But then this happens and they say, oh, man, that's terrible. I don't want to get involved with this. You niggers are crazy and you're out killing police and all that stuff. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Blue Lives Matter. We're racists are very skilled. They're very manipulative. They're very dishonest. And they don't have a problem with a white sacrifice. They don't have a problem losing one or two if it's going to support the greater overall objective of white supremacy. That's something else that I keep in mind in evaluating all this, and that's why that is just another reason why I don't get excited about any of these events that happen under the system of white supremacy, if that makes sense. Andrew, Mr. Fox, did you all have additional commentary?
I listened to a speaker saying something quite interesting about Black Lives Matter. Personally, I don't have no problem with it. Obviously, there's correlations with the late 60s and all that sort of type of thing with the, you know, when white people march with black people here, there and everywhere, all around America. So I understand why people would say, oh, not, you know, not another one of those again. But this is what this speaker said. He said that the only issue he's got with the whole Black Lives Matter thing is that he could not define any specific change in law that they were demanding in America. Unless he was incorrect, I've not been able to find any. I mean, maybe some one of the participators now understand or know of the specific law changes that they want. If there is a specific change in any law, i.e., so for example, the whole thing about, as I understand American law, a cop, a policeman, or ossifer can shoot someone if they believe that their life is in danger, right? You know, or if they believe someone's going to go for the gun. You know, that's wide interpretation, right? So if we want the law to be changed so that they go to prison for simply shooting someone because they believe someone's got a gun. If we're now marching to make that a prisonable offence from a copper, right, then I'm all in favour of that. But maybe somebody can tell me if that is a point of law that they want to be changed.
Well, and Andrew, that's my only thought. Help.
That's my only thought on it.
Andrew, I can maybe answer that for you.
Yeah.
They were given an audience before Hillary Clinton, and they were asked specifically for their demands, and they had none. That's the problem. There are no demands. To me, it's an exercise in attention seeking that has been born out of a hashtag. So there's been no demands made on behalf of the black community. They had nothing to say to her. She asked them what their demands were, and there were none.
Right, and you see, that's the obvious problem. Then you see, unless for me the biggest, there's probably other things they could demand. In fact, there's things that we as African people, black people, non-white people, need to be going for. You've spoken about one to stop buying from white people. That's point one. But if we're going to ask anything from the white lawmakers, It's that specific point that is a prisonable offence. The question is, how can, going on what you just said there, how can they get an audience with Hillary Clinton and not ask for the obvious? Because that's quite obvious, really, isn't it? Changing law so that we can put you in prison for believing that we've got a gun. Because at the moment, they can shoot black people for just because they just believe. And that for me is a very obvious problem.
It's very easy to see how it happens, though, because we're not saying end terrorism, end murder. We're actually saying Black Lives Matter. So the focus really is on the fact that Black Lives Matter and not the fact that we're getting killed. So when you're thinking about what is important in regards to policies, you know, how we respond to the police, you're not thinking he's a murderer, he's a terrorist. You're thinking Black Lives Matter. In fact, all lives matter. That's why. That's why people are not thinking along those lines. That's why we don't have an agenda set out. That's why we don't have any demands set out.
One thing I did want to say, I think some of the people that have organized with, and this point has been raised with Black Lives Matter, some of the different groups, it's a deliberately nebulous thing, meaning there's not like a formal Black Lives Matter headquarters, right, that you can go to like an office in Cleveland or New York, that this is the Black Lives Matter headquarters and we dictate, you know, national policy for people who are using this hashtag or saying that they're involved with Black Lives Matter. It's deliberately decentralized, right? So I think depending on who you talk to, you might get a different response. Like I know the thing with Hillary Clinton, that did happen. We talked about that with Dr. Tommy Curry, where he was saying that they did not have specific policy changes. At least the people that spoke with her, they didn't have specific policy changes. Some of the people that I have heard who have been associated with Black Lives Matter, some of the things that they've said is body cameras. I know that was a big one, particularly in 2014, getting body cameras, and they wanted a change to the process where there's some sort of adjudication if there has been an officer involved shooting. I know in New York, Eric Garner and their family, they were involved with Governor Cuomo to getting an independent review board that adjudicates if there's been a police shooting, and they're supposed to review, even though it's not a permanent change, it's only supposed to be temporary, and then I guess they have some sort of review after the time has expired and they see if they're going to keep it or if they're going to do away with it. But I mean, as I said, it is decentralized, so it's not like they have a national platform with this is Black Lives Matter and these are specific policy changes that we want enacted at a federal level to deal with this problem. But I think some of it does depend on whom you speak with in terms of what their response might be, because I think some people have said that they would like to see certain policies or laws enacted to deal with this problem.
And Gus, that's what makes it an absolute mess, because then what are you all following behind? If one person's got this, one person's got that one, it should be, there should be more fluidity. And as for cameras, we've seen where the road that's gone down, you're going to now need a court order to see what happened on the cameras. And furthermore, you get to see someone die like it's a snuff movie. The cameras have not added anything to what's going on out here.
I think the cameras have added one thing, actually. I think the cameras have allowed the people in my church to wake up a little bit. Up until now, you know, you've had a lot of Christians. I'm a Christian. You've had a lot of Christians praying for example, praying for the police, that someone's gone out and shot the police. Right. However, now, guess what we've got to do now as well? We've actually got to pray for our own people. So now we've got to pray for our own. In other words, the point I'm making is that we now got to. It's not all about innocent police getting shot and killed by these crazy people running around in society. Now there's actually footage on the TV that regular African people can go and access quite easily. Because, you know, if those police had been shot, that footage would be all over. That's good propaganda for the police. But now, guess what, right? Even regular African people that don't search and trawl the internet, right, will quite readily have African... there's evidence there that Africans are getting shot and killed. So it's conversation amongst normal, regular African people. And it never used to be. That for me is a step forward.
You know, Andrew, it's not a step... Andrew, it's not a step forward to see someone get killed and the person who killed them never gets brought to justice, even though there's evidence in your face. So it should not even be a conversation starter that you see somebody get murdered. The whole point of a body camera is so that that person gets sent to prison. That's the whole point, not about conversations in church. This is murder. This is genocide.
And I totally agree with that. The point I'm making... is that what's good about people, regular African people, taking film, what's good about that is that regular African people are woken up, right? The police will turn on and turn off their cameras. What they can't turn on and turn off is when they are not in control of the cameras. In other words, when I take a film on my mobile phone of one of my students getting stopped and searched by the police, and I put that on YouTube or email it to my friends, that the police can't turn that off. And it's that use of our cameras, right, that is waking up our people. That's what I'm saying. And I've had conversations with other African people, other black people that I couldn't have had before. Because what they've seen on TV, especially when that young lady had the misfortune of having that copper shoot her husband, her boy, her partner in the car with her 4-year-old in the back, she streamed that live. I bet the police didn't want her to do that.
Well, you know, so the point,
yeah, that's right. So the point I'm making, any conversations that we can have using that footage, right, that serves to wake up our people from watching EastEnders or watching the Euro football on that was on the other day, or doing any other nonsense that doesn't serve our doesn't serve the purpose of producing justice, then that's a good thing. And I've seen those conversations, even with my mum. I've seen those conversations happen. I've had those, and if that, she didn't see that on TV, that conversation would not have happened. You know, so I think those kind of conversations with not just us on this forum, but with regular African people, African people that wouldn't normally talk about that. That's what's going to move this forward. You know,
What happens when they start to sacrifice their own people? Where does the conversation go then?
Well, you know what? You know, white people, as Neely Fuller says, there is to maintain the system of race and white supremacy, right? There is a loss that they are prepared to endure, right? The question then becomes this. the obvious question becomes this for us. What are we prepared to do? Because at the end of the day, we're going to have to answer that question as well. You know, where are we prepared to take this?
Let me check to see, because we have a caller in Canada as well. He should be in the international section as well. Did African 1884, Mr. Fox, Mary, did you all have commentary you wanted to add before I check in with our caller in Canada?
Yeah, I had a question.
Yes, sir. This is African 1884 in Norway. Excuse me, Austria, sorry.
In Austria, yes. I'm just thinking about the, you know, because I'm a staunch student of Neely Fuller Jr. and understanding the system of racism, white supremacy. Whenever I see a movement of black people that a majority of white people support or a good number of white people support, that's like a red flag for me. You know, I tend to question and try to figure out how are white people using this organizational movement to maintain and refine the system of racism and white supremacy? Now, when I look at the Black Lives Matter movement, I think it's a group that is functioning within the concept of racism and white supremacy. And when I see a good number of so-called leftist white people support it, then that's a red flag. Now, I want to hear someone's opinion, what they think about that. Am I wrong, or is it justified to think like that?
I agree with you. Everything you said there, I agree with.
I'm curious to hear our caller in Canada, his thought on this. I can say I've written about this. Anytime that I see white people supporting anything that is allegedly supposed to be against racism, I'm immediately disinterested. Like, this cannot be a part of the problem, because white people would not be supporting it at all if this was something that was going to really benefit black people and move towards ending white supremacy. I don't really have an assessment of if it's a lot of white people, even though it doesn't take a whole lot, even just having a small number of white people that are like, yeah, right on, Black Lives Matter. I think, at least in my view, I have seen enough white involvement and participation that it makes me question. It makes me suspicious. I don't know how that's going to change given the events that have happened today and what happened in Dallas. As I said, there have been more calls where you've had white politicians saying Black Lives Matter needs to be classified as a terrorist organization. I know in Canada, they had a gay pride march this month, and Black Lives Matter, they interrupted, or they were invited. Let me take that. They were the invited guest of the gay pride march. This was in Toronto, and they stopped, and they had a set of demands of things that they wanted, and whites in Canada were furious about this and have been fussing at them, and it seems that a lot of white people were very angry about this. So it certainly seems that this could be changing in terms of how many whites are cool with Black Lives, or even willing to pretend that they're cool with Black Lives Matter. We'll have to see how all of that changes. Our caller in Toronto, did you want to respond to that question in terms of white satisfaction or white involvement with Black Lives Matter, your perspective being in Canada? Our caller in Canada, are you with us, sir? I don't know if he muted his line or is not with us for a second. We're not hearing you. If you dialed in, if you were going to share, our caller who's on the vote line. All right, maybe he'll tune in. If you can hear us, caller in Canada, we are not hearing you. If you want to hang up and dial back in, you can give that a try. Or if it's an issue with your volume or what have you, feel free. Did you want to respond to the question African 1884 put forward in terms of the white involvement with Black Lives Matter?
If someone tells you who your leaders are and they point to them and the people haven't decided, that's a red flag, and that's what Black Lives Matter mean to me.
Spot on.
Fascinating, fascinating. Mr. Fox, did you have any comment with the police shooting aspect, what you've seen or any part of that discussion you wanted to touch on before we switch to, I definitely want to get you all's thoughts on what's happened with Brexit, some of the other things in the time that we have. Mr. Fox, did you have commentary?
Which one, the one now or the one earlier?
Either, if you have comments on both, that's fine. If it's just one thing in particular that you'd like to share, that's fine too.
Regarding the one now, I don't know what to make of it, but I see white civilians very soon retaliating. Because as I said to you before, there's scared white people are very scary and can be very dangerous. History has proven this. About the first one, when I first heard of it, and heard of this person actually going out there and killing the officers, a part of you was happy, and then the other part of me was like, well, you need to sit back and actually hear the information and get the full story, because people who we are dealing with are master manipulators and are very good at deception. So I just don't know what to make of it.
Absolutely. That's definitely something I encourage in terms of folks just reserve judgment until you get more details, just because under the system of white supremacy, it can be very difficult to ascertain truth. And I know Neely Fuller Jr., this was something I talked with him about specifically this week. He mentioned it Wednesday when he was on Talktainment, that racists, that is like a central feature of their system, celebrating death. That's why it's in all the movies, all the killing, The Purge and Walking Dead, and just endless stream of films. Killing, 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 violence and death. Yes. That's something that is very much a part of white culture, enjoying death. That is something that we want to get away from. Even if you have to kill someone, if you are justified in taking a life, that is not a time for rejoicing, taking of a life. Even if you have to do it, if it was just that you did it, and that's that. That is not call for, you know, a parade and a hoorah and that sort of thing. That is total white supremacist culture, and I agree completely.
Sorry, Bus, one more thing. Mm-hmm. How long was it before they actually decided to blow him up? Because that doesn't sound right with me. He had no hostages. It was pinned in, then decided to blow him up. It's like the Christopher Donner as well. They set fire to the cabin.
Right.
What he's in is like, you know, it's very strange. You decide to blow someone up who has no hostages. And you could have just waited him out.
I agree. Other people did submit that. There were articles in the New York Times. Even Bill Maher khaki white man Bill Maher even brought that up on his program on Friday and saying, whoa, that is scary. Like, that is the route that we're going now in law enforcement. Like, you didn't have other alternatives. You couldn't use this robot, this drone to take tear gas or something non-lethal to, you know, immobilize him so he could be neutralized. And then you can just go in and, you know, handcuff him or whatever the deal is. And that has been basically drowned out, even though some mainstream outlets have taken that position. Like, wow, has this ever been done before? This is unprecedented. Do we want to replicate this? Do we want other, you know, law enforcement agencies doing the same thing, that you get your, you know, your robot drone to go blow somebody up in a standoff situation? And the basic response has been, shut up. This Negro was out of control. He had already killed five enforcement officials and had said that he had planted bombs in downtown Dallas and wanted to kill more, and said apparently specifically that he wanted to kill white people. So, of course, this was the correct course of action. And if you don't agree, you're an idiot and you might be a terrorist along with him. That's pretty much the way the narrative has gone.
Because when you think about it, when you actually add up how many times this has happened, it's kind of unusual, because looking at it from their point of view, that how many terrorist acts the police get away with in this country, but you, no, sorry, in the US, but you've had one black person who's decided to take up arms against the police. I would think that they would want to take him alive just to try and work out what made him do it and if there's anyone else involved with him, instead of blowing him up to millions of pieces. It just doesn't make sense.
Good point. I would just add the word allegedly. I really try to emphasize that in this case, because again, there's no trial. He wasn't convicted. Just the alleged shooter, Micah Xavier Johnson. I think Dr. Rossian said the same thing, using this bomb to detonate him. He felt it was almost as if we want to make sure that this person has no story to tell. That they do not get an opportunity to speak to any reporters, they don't get an opportunity to testify in any trial, that we will have the final sentence on how all of this is perceived, how people report this, think about this, you will have nothing to add to this conversation. He also thought that that was extremely important, if not suspicious.
It stinks. It just stinks.
I agree. Context of White Supremacy, Global Sunday Talk on Racism. If folks that are listening, if you have questions, the number to dial 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943 pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Since we have so many folks that are here from the UK area and other parts of Europe, definitely wanted to get kind of view from ground zero. I guess I'll make time for what happened in France as well, because I think that's going to be an important part of this narrative of the attack on whites worldwide. But certainly with Brexit, I think the last time that you all were here, the vote had not happened yet for Britain to actually leave the European Union. So now that it's happened, David Cameron has stepped down, Theresa May is new prime minister, and all of the attacks, that's what I've seen a lot of, even black journalists with the BBC being attacked out in broad daylight and called a nigger and all this other stuff, and all these reports that just racism has become way worse, way more public over the last, I don't know, almost a month now since the vote. What have you all seen, the folks that are actually in the UK? What have you seen? What has the experience been like over the past few weeks with your understanding of racism? I guess we can get everybody's thoughts on this one. We'll start. Lorraine, you want to start with this one?
During the period of time before the election, a lot of black people were confused. They didn't know whether it would be a good idea or not to vote, to stay in or not. After the elections, they're now beginning to realise what impact it may have on the community, now that, you know, the laws that were in place that affected the whole of Europe will no longer apply. The fact that they may not be able to go above the court's heads, basically, because we are out of the EU, you know, and benefits that we were entitled to no longer will apply for us. And because we're in the position where the majority of us are sort of in the lower income bracket, that you know, we're going to be financially affected by this. It's just finally hit the community. They're finally now asking questions. They're finally now concerned. They're finally now worried about what the effects are going to be on them.
Let's see. Mary, did you want to go next?
Okay. I think that most of the country voted to leave Europe for racial reasons, not necessarily economic reasons. I mean, I've asked a few people why they voted at work, and they've said it's because of the economic disparity between the north and the south of the country. But I myself sensed that it was an immigration issue and that they more or less want to sweep the country out. But what they're beginning to find is that it's not as easy to untangle as they thought it would be. I mean, you've had reports that within 48 hours of the result being announced, people telling people to go home and all of that kind of thing without actually knowing where they're from. So people who are actually English have been approached and been told to go back to where they come from. And they're saying, but I'm born here, I'm English. And they're saying, but you look a bit foreign. So to me, I think the whole thing was predicated along racial lines. Although the vote has happened and Theresa May is going to make it a smoother process as possible to remove this country from Europe, it hasn't yet taken place. And the whole issue of how the United Kingdom joined Europe has been on the table since the 60s. So you're talking about untangling something that has been in creation and has been in a process before I was even born. And I think that it's going to take probably a decade or more to unravel it, because you're talking about trade agreements, movement of people, you're talking about passport issues, you're talking about splitting families up potentially. Theresa May has said that if you're earning less than £35,000, you may no longer be able to stay in this country. And then you're also talking about European law and which law courts are going to have supremacy over what this country does. You're also talking about something that I raised months ago about how they want to untangle the laws, and I think that they want to replace the Human Rights Act. Theresa May has said that the Human Rights Act is something that she despises. I think that they want to take that off the table and replace it with a UK type of Bill of Rights. It's going to be a very, very dangerous time, and I think that the people who asked for this to happen are going to regret it. They're very much going to regret it.
Let's see. Andrew, comments?
Yes, it's been interesting. Interesting in the sense that you've had all the old, basically, you know, to me, racists have had a field day, that, you know, they've been able to come out and, you know, and be their old sort of national front selves. You've had people come out and say all kind of comments everywhere, even little kids, you know, little white kids come out and say all kinds of stuff. And all the regular stuff. But what's been interesting is when you've had, you know, white people come up to you as a black person quietly and say, you know, you're all right, but it's those Eastern Europeans we want to get rid of. You're all right, you're okay. You see, what black people here need to understand is that it might be the Eastern Europeans now, but it's going to be us next. We are not friends with these people, and they do not see us as friends. And that's, you know, I had one workman come up to me and say, you know, it's those Eastern Europeans, we just don't want them here, blah, 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 blah. But you're okay, you know, and so it's that kind of mindset. And the thing is, a lot of black people have fallen into that mindset as well, got short memories and have forgotten, you know, what the National Front used to say to us when we came into this country. And so, we need to get that kind of memory back again. In my opinion, Theresa May, she's been on TV, gave a speech. Her first speech was about trying to bring, in some kind of fashion, some kind of you might, I don't know, you might call it unity to all the people living in this country. Very strange speech he gave there. Very strange speech. But the bottom line is, white people here being just being racist, just coming out and being verbally abusive to anyone, just running around being abusive. I mean, that's what I've sort of seen on TV and in person as well.
Wow. Always good to hear about young white children being white supremacists. I heard that, hear that all the time, that we just need to wait for the older whites. Once they die out, this problem will be solved. And every time, is nothing could be further from the, again, if you don't understand racism, you don't understand white people, everything else will just confuse you. Mr. Fox, your comments, what's been happening since Brexit?
Well, personally, I've not experienced any changes because I've not been around many white people as of that. But the Brexit, the exit from the European Union, is based on scared white people wanting to close the gate. That's what it's always been about. But I just have to really just watch this space. But it could intensify regarding the anti-blackness. But I really was... what happened to Andrew, because they used to say that thing back in the day. Well, when I was younger, like little white friends used to say something like, yeah, black people are okay, but it's just the packies I don't like. And he used to say stuff like that, and that used to kind of throw you off. But, you know, this kind of Eastern Europeans we don't like, you're okay. Well, the Eastern Europeans over here are classed as the Czechs, the Polish, and they're white, and they've been here for what? The last 10 years, and a lot of these people who have been here have had children, have Polish names, but then speak English. So they've kind of assimilated. So I don't really know where he was actually going on that. So really, it's always the blacks and the Asians. And now with the Islamophobia, Asians are always going to have the finger pointing at them. But you have black people over here who are actually confused as well, who think, you know, they're British and they went and voted and, voted to leave the European Union, but everyone's gonna get the reality check soon enough.
We hope. Even though you are not in Britain, you are in Europe. You're close enough, I suspect, that you have seen some things, maybe even felt some of the reverberations since the vote. African 1884 in Norway. Did you have commentary?
Oh, in Austria, so...
Austria, sorry.
I keep mixing that up. Okay, so in regard to the Brexit, okay, it was once it happened, I mean, we have a small community here, so we kind of like got together and tried to think about what the consequences would be. And one of the two things that were pointed out was that, because there are usually a lot of African migrants here who, once they graduate from high school, they move to the UK because their German proficiency is not very good, so they can't be able to finish the university studies very much faster as they would do it in the UK because they speak English. So due to the fact that now the UK is not going to be part of the EU, that might have an impact on them. Many of them will not be able to go to the UK to study for free. Another thing is with black businesses here, many of the people import things from the UK and sell them here. So due to the fact there's not going to be this one common trade system, now that the UK is out, it's going to be out and everything, that might affect them. So they have to pay kind of like some taxes in regard to what they import from the UK to Austria. An important thing that I experienced when I was at work was when my boss, a white man, came to me, and after the decision was made, he came in complaining and being worried and talking about how can Europe not stand together. I mean, we've gone through so much oppressing non-white people. We conquered the world, and now we're dissolving our unity. I can't believe what the British are doing. You know, that was interesting for me to hear from him. And I just smiled and just, it was interesting. Yeah.
Wow. Context. Going a little bit. Folks could use their mute button just to kind of watch the background noise. Again, I can't do anything about it on my end. Oh, there we go. Thank you kindly. I think we have our caller in Canada We had an issue with the folks that dialed in on the phone. The people that were listening online, it's been working fine, and the archive is fine. It was just some of the people that dialed in via the phone, they were having difficulties hearing the program. I think it has been corrected, and the folks who dialed in via the phone should be with us now. We have you. So I'm going to try again, just kind of rewinding. Our caller in Canada, the question came up about Black Lives Matter, and it seems like, or at least people had the perception, that there were a sizable number of whites who were involved, who went to the marches, who used the hashtag, and that that alone is enough to make them suspicious of associating with the movement under the banner of Black Lives Matter. And I brought up the issue in Canada about the gay pride parade that they had this month. Black Lives Matter, they have been excoriated in the media because they stopped the march to make demands about things that they wanted to help black people. Desmond Cole wrote about it. I think we played a portion on the program talking about that yesterday. Just your comments based on what you've seen with regards to Black Lives Matter in Canada and how white people perceive it. Do you get the impression that there are white people who are willing to be a part of it, endorse it, want to be involved with it? Or do you get the impression that whites are disgusted with Black Lives Matter and looking forward to seeing the whole thing done away with? Caller in Canada, let's try again.
Okay, so thanks for giving me that quick recap. As for white people, I think it's just, you know, academic white people who think they're really liberal and for everybody and for all this anti-oppression, they love Black Lives Matter. But for the most part, the average white Canadian does not want to hear that Canada is a racist country. So anything that shows Canada is racist drives white people here nuts. And that's why even though I don't agree with how attached they are to pride and the everybodyism that they follow, including this group and that group, I do like that we have racism now is becoming more regular in Canadian public discourse. So Canada can't really hide its racism as much at the moment. So I actually like that. I think it's constructive in that way. Did I answer your question?
I think so. Has there been a notable change? At least it seemed like there were two instances when Yusra Kigali, when they brought up the tweet, it wasn't like it was a new thing, but when they brought up her tweet, this is a black female in Black Lives Matter Toronto, when they brought up a tweet where she was basically saying, Allah, please give me the strength to not kill these white folks, men, blah, 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 racists. I'm paraphrasing, but she said this like a while ago. They brought it up in April and made it a big deal. I'm like, oh my God, these Black Lives Matter Toronto people are terrorists, and look at what they're saying, and they're talking about killing us, and they just went nutty. And then with the interruption of the Pride Parade, which they were invited to participate in, there seemed to be a huge backlash those two spots as well. Those seems like, at least to me as an outsider, two flashpoints where it was, yeah, we're totally done with Black Lives Matter Toronto. They need to get out of here.
Oh, wait, I'm forgetting one thing. There was I don't know if you came across it, but there was a gay police officer who wrote an open letter complaining that, you know, he doesn't like that Black Lives Matter demanded that police be excluded, blah, 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 the typical, you know, white people, we should be included, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a white woman complaining that she could only donate a t-shirt but not buy a t-shirt because they said only black identified people can buy these t-shirts, but a white person's welcome to donate. So she didn't like that. That's two things I actually remember. And so the media in Canada is just saying, you know, they're divisive, blah, 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 blah. Whereas you do have some black criticism of Black Lives Matter. Some of it is good. Some of it is, you know, reflects our confusion. So that's basically what's been going on with Black Lives Matter Toronto.
Do they have a platform? Like, because we were talking about this earlier as well in the U.S. context. Does Black Lives Matter Toronto, do they have a platform for, like, specific policy changes or laws that they want instituted to help combat anti-black racism in Canada?
That's one of the problems. They had their list of demands for Pride. They were attached to carding much earlier in this year and some of 2015. But that's sort of one of the critiques recently that September Anderson wrote recently about that. There's no clarity on which issues they want to discuss or which. There's really a lack of ideological clarity with them. that's one of the things. So when, for some people like myself, when we saw them involved with Pride, we're kind of wondering, how does this really help Black people? It just seemed to be more about this intersectional Black queers in the queer with white supremacy within a queer context. But I that's, yeah. So basically, there's a lack of clarity, I would say.
Hmm. Seems consistent with some of the points that folks were making earlier about concerns that they had about all of it. That was news to me when I was reading some of what was going down with the Gay Pride march that happened. And they said that, I believe the wording was that a disproportionate number or a substantial number of the participants in Black Lives Matter Toronto are, I guess, gay or lesbian or LGBT, whatever the case is. And I was like, wow, that would be a concern for me, given my thoughts about how racists are manipulating Black people in particular with that anti-sexual, homosexual behavior. But that was news. I had not heard or read that before, but that was reported this week. Is that your understanding?
Yep. Yeah, actually recently, a month or two ago, there was an article calling Black Lives Matter the most progressive LGBTQ movement in Toronto. And they were going in, some of the leaders commented that, you know, it's not just a single issue group, it's about all people. And you know my views about when Black people start talking about all people, you know how I find this counterproductive.
Amen. I'm in total agreement there. Our caller in New York, as I said, I think some of the callers mentioned, I don't know if he heard this or not, Thomas in New York, I think one of the callers where they said that when some of the police actions happened in 2014, I think I would suspect with like Eric Garner, that when this was getting a lot of attention, that the New York police backed off of Black people a bit just to kind of make an assessment about how things were going to go. And I said some of our callers in New York, they might not agree with that assessment. Thomas in New York, was that your perception, that the police in New York, that they maybe backed off Black people a little bit after the Eric Garner situation when there was so much attention? Yes, ma'am.
It was Ishmael Brimsley. That's what I was going on about, not about Eric Garner. Ishmael Brimsley.
Oh, okay. And this is the Black male that was suspected, the suspected shooter in 2014, which was connected to Eric Garner. But was that your perception, that the police kind of backed off of Black people a little bit after the Ishmael Brimsley shooting that left two NYPD officers dead? This is December 2014.
Not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. No, they backed off of, I think, white people tickets, traffic tickets and stuff, but they definitely did not. I didn't see any shortage of police officers walking around home.
I remember we talked about that at the end of 2014, because that was a big deal. Like they were calling it like a work slowdown or a work stoppage. They weren't writing as many citations and all of that. And I remember some of our people in New York were saying they might not be writing tickets, but they are for sure still jacking Black people up and stopping Black people on the corner left and right. They might just not be writing a ticket for it per se, but you know, no real change on the ground was their perception. I remember folks did say that back in 2014. Retired firefighter, did you have a question for any of our listeners in Austria, the UK, other parts? Did you have a question or a comment?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I got unmuted. Hold on for a second.
I just remembered to tune in. I was watching a little bit for the first time, Straight Outta Compton. It happened to be on regular cable, but and I remembered about the program. But I am aware of the incident that took place in forgot what city now. It had, you know, it had something, Baton Rouge. And I basically stated that as a result, I mean, it's not like it's something surprising or anything like that. It's kind of predictable that things, as
of what took place is going to happen continuously back and forth. It's not unusual, and I'd say that that based on that, the global system of racism and white supremacy is probably going to shift more from refined to more direct activity towards their non-white victims. And so stay tuned. I also mentioned to be prepared for the next commander in chief to not be a white woman. I put emphasis on not being a white woman, and we know what the other alternative is. And it doesn't. I also had, even before that comment, I put on someone's Facebook that no matter who is the next person in charge, it's not going to be two non-white black people self-interest. So because you hear the constant Mrs. Clinton versus Mr. Trump, as though there's some sort of ideal position for non-white black people, or as if there was ever some sort of ideal position for non-white black people under the global system of racism and white supremacy. I think we have a tendency either to not to focus on that, and or those who take some time to focus on it don't stay focused all the time. And we start thinking that it's the issue is the quote-unquote police versus non-white black people. And actually what it is the global system of racism, white supremacy. That white person doesn't have to have on a uniform to mistreat you. And they would recruit and have non-white people that will be in their confused status would also participate in the demise of non-white people. So those basically have been my thoughts, you know, on the recent situations that have been going on globally.
For sure.
And I'll mute my line and continue to listen.
Well said. Appreciate that. I do want to ask our international listeners about the situation in France as well, because I thought that was important. You all are much closer to that than I am. We have one more caller, another caller in New York. I'll ask her the same question. And if you have a question or a comment you wanted to get in as well, female caller in New York, it was proposed that perhaps the police in New York, maybe they blacked off of black people a little bit back in 2014 after the Ishmael Brinsley alleged shooting where two officers were shot and killed. This was December 2014, right after the non-indictment of Daniel Pantaleo, the officer who choked Eric Garner to death. You're in New York. Is it your perception that the NYPD, that they backed off black people a little bit after the Ishmael Brinsley shooting in December 2014?
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Gus, and good evening to the international callers and the listeners and the local callers. Absolutely not. We are at war. This is a constant war. And it has been my observation, because I regularly roll through Harlem, especially the 125th Street area. And I know for a fact that every time a class is graduated from the New York City Police Department, Harlem and other black areas in the Bronx are training grounds. Okay? So you're going to always see a heavy police presence in these areas because they are training grounds. They don't just graduate these people and, you know, they go sit behind a desk somewhere. These are all training grounds. How do I know? Because they stop you and frisk you for small infractions. I've seen it. I've been a victim of it, you know, just making a U-turn. Oh, ooh, you know, pulling me over, okay? And these are all people who are training. And I know they're training because they're standing on those corners and they look like they don't know what's going on, all right? A lot of them, you know, I'm eager to listen to Mr. Stamper's take on this whole situation when you have him on, because what I do see is what he spoke about. I see a lot of fear in them, okay, and I see things going on with them that they're not too sure about what's happening around them. So absolutely not. There was no fallback in police presence. And I just wanted to say that I just heard about what happened in Baton Rouge because I've been working all day and I haven't had any access to internet or, television. So I got in my car to get something to eat. And thank you for making that suggestion about not turning on music, Gus, because most definitely lately, instead of turning on Backspin, I've been turning on the news channels. And yeah, so I heard about that. And I just wanted to reiterate, we are at war. This is a war. So we can expect the Voltron effect. We can expect all of this is I totally 100% think that this has to all tied into the election that's coming up. And I just heard somebody say something the other day who was giving his opinion on the situation, and I had to think about it. We have not seen any bodies. We have not seen any police officers literally shot. We haven't seen them any of them falling down in the street or after being hit by gunfire, sniper gunfire. We haven't seen any of that. However, we have seen up-close executions of black men over and over and over and over again. So I'm wondering if this is even really real. That's just me. It could be a whole conspiracy theory type of mindset, but I'm wondering how much of this is real and how much of this is staged. I did hear a reporter, I try not to listen to too much on the Young Brothers shootings, especially I didn't even see any of it. I didn't see any of those executions on the internet. But I did hear, I think it was a politician or a local enforcement officer. I believe it was in Dallas. He might have been a formal enforcement officer. And when he described the scene and he would describe what was going on after it all happened, he slipped up and he said that the actors, he called the people who were involved in the Black Lives Matter movement and some other people at the scene, he referred to them as actors. Okay, so I have serious reservations about a lot of this. I do believe that it is to shift the sentiment away from these young black men who were executed onto something else to further set us up for what is to come. And that's all I had. I'll mute my line. Thanks for taking my call, Gus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a really important point as well, in terms of just because I've been saying that for a while. I do not watch these videos. I think Andrew made the point well taken about how these videos have made it possible. It's indisputable. The war that whites are waging against black people. You have the evidence, the pile of black bodies. And how that has helped him and many of us have conversations with other black people in our families around the world, have conversations because it's undeniable. It's in your face what's happening to black people. So I totally get the value of that. But at the same time, there's so many of these videos. I don't watch them anymore. I'm aware of them. I can converse about any of these situations. I'm informed. I just don't watch these videos anymore because I think that that in and of itself is a form of white terrorism, just to continue to show almost for entertainment value the death of black people. But you do not see those type of images of these enforcement officials. You didn't see that in Dallas. I haven't seen that in Louisiana. That is very typical. Even I think a white person shot and killed a white enforcement officer in Arizona 2 years ago, and they didn't show the video of that either. And they had video. They said specifically, we're not going to show this officer being shot and killed because we do not want to traumatize anyone or have them viewing this. They do not take that stance with black people. They have no problem piling the footage up to the heavens of black bodies, black people being choked, beaten, stabbed, shot, whatever the case may be, all of the above. They have no problem. And just in my view, that long legacy of white supremacy with that sort of making entertainment out of black death. The folks that are with us, we did our 90 minutes, although the thing in Louisiana is important, but we will be here tomorrow. Norm Stamper, the author of Breaking Rank, and he has a new book, too, His latest book, To Protect and Serve, How to Fix America's Police. This is a white man who was an enforcement officer for about 30 years, the former chief of the Seattle Police Department. His infamous line in his book about he says, as a white man, that he knows that white people are afraid of black people, and specifically if it is a large, dark black male, the more afraid they are, the darker the black male is, the more fearful they are, and that plays a huge role in these shootings. He said that in his book. He said that on this program many times. He'll be with us tomorrow to talk about his book and these events. Did folks have I did want to ask about the friends thing, but it does seem with the shooting and just everything that's been happening. Did folks have additional commentary that they wanted to make sure they get in? Any important points or just anything that you would like folks to kind of think about before we wrap things up? We'll give everybody an opportunity to share. Thomas in New York, did you have a comment you were getting in, sir? Your line is breaking up, sir. Your line is breaking up. Your line is breaking up.
Hold on. Can I be heard better now?
Yes, sir.
Good evening. Oh, okay, I had wanted to make a comment. Definitely what the sister just said was true. I witness that all the time where you'll have three or four rookie cops, and those rookie cops will be there with an experienced officer, and they're training them. They're teaching them how to pull over this car, you know, and they'll stand back with their hands on their hips just observing how the professional cops interact with that suspect or whatever. And they're not pulling over people for anything in particular. They're just teaching these other cops. And if they get something out of it, good. You know, they get to teach them how to process someone and everything else. They also do that with the stop and frisk. I wanted to ask if anyone had any commentary on what's going on in Turkey. I see that there's like a coup being staged there, and it's apparently that it's being staged by an American. And also, can I be heard or am I breaking up?
We can hear you.
Okay, and last thing, I wanted to make a comment on as far as Baton Rouge. I believe that the Republican convention is tomorrow, so they're definitely stepping up the stuff there, and they're trying to get a law passed where they can make that region a non-open carry region just for tomorrow or whatever day that convention is. But I expect to see a lot of violence at the convention in Philadelphia, not the one in Cleveland, not the Republican convention. I expect to see all the violence at the Democratic convention, and I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Can you hear me, Gus?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sadly, European countries in America are into something called regime change. Yeah, so the whole thing about what happened in Turkey there is what the prime minister there or the president there was accusing a certain individual, a national of Turkey, who now resides in America, what he was accusing him of was conspiring with the American government to regarding that coup that happened in Turkey. Similarly, right, you've got that thing that happened in Nice was a terrible thing. You know, I mean, you know, there's no excuse for that, and the person who done it should be locked up, simple as that. The problem is, though, is that people who are depicted as terrorists by European people and by the Americans, generally, or religious nuts, religious criminals, you know, like extremists, religious extremists. You know, the funny thing there is that whole thing about religion is a veil. That's all it is. It's when really what the real issue is politics. You know, in other words, when the in Ireland, when you had the so-called Protestants fighting the Catholics, it wasn't really about religion. It was about politics. In other words, it was about the Irish people saying to the English, get out of our country. You know, now that's quite important, because most so-called terrorists are simply saying to invading powers, get out of our country, leave us alone, stop trying to do neo-colonialism, stop trying to control us from afar, stop sending your secret service people in to try and divide and rule, leave us alone, get out of our country. European powers and America do not want to have that conversation. what they want to talk about, that they want to try and confuse people, right, by talking about religious nuts, religious... You know, most of those people who are called religious nuts are not. It's about, it's a political war, and basically what they're basically saying is, leave us alone, get out of our country. It's that simple. That's what the Irish said to the English, get out. It's that simple. So all of this, so there's a lot of smoke screen, and so that thing in Nice, it was a terrible thing. But you know what? When you wind people up that much, right? When you create a mess in people's countries, when you kill thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, right? Just because it's not on camera, that doesn't mean that most people don't know about it still. Right, so it's a, you know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, you know, Malcolm X said chickens come home to roost. It's a terrible thing when someone kills en masse, right? But you know, you've got some hypocrites in high places in European powers and also in America as well. Massive systematic, hypocrites in positions of power. You know, and that's the least of it. So, you know, you know, all of this, right? If they're going to talk about the 84 people that died in that very horrible way in Nice, I want them to talk also about the people that they kill en masse all around the world. And they will never have that conversation with you or anybody else.
Well said. Well said. Let's see. I'll go down and see if we could nab everybody if you have... comment if you want to respond to the question that Thomas asked about the attempted coup in Turkey, or if you just have other thoughts that you want to make sure we get in before we conclude things. Lorraine, commentary you wanted to add?
Well, I don't have a television, so I only got one opportunity to see that whole scenario in Nice. From what I saw, it just seemed really odd. I saw a lorry and I saw somebody on a motorbike. The person on the motorbike was trying to open the door, and then they ended up somehow falling off the bike, and then the police started shooting. Now, if the police thought that this man was a threat, why did they wait until the person tried to open the cabin to start shooting? Then when they started shooting, it's like the man put his foot down and he started to drive fast. He drove in the direction of where the crowd was. That's how I saw it. I don't know if I missaw anything, if anyone can tell me that I missaw anything, but that's the way it looked to me. Huh. Did I miss see? Has anyone seen anything differently?
I didn't see that footage, so I can't comment. You probably saw exactly what you saw. I think racists, they do that a lot to try to convince us that your eyes did not see what you just saw. So it's probably, you probably saw exactly what you just reported. It would not surprise me at all if there was something suspicious about what happened. As I've stated consistently with any of these events, I think it's extremely important to closely scrutinize and pay attention. And if anything stands out that seems, you know, a little bit awkward, a little bit unusual, make a note of that and be confident about it until you have had any questions that you have resolved to your satisfaction, because racists do that sort of thing all the time. And anything, again, with violence, they love coordinating acts of violence that they can manipulate and use these events for how they want. So if you have questions or suspicion about it, right until you get them answered, maintain those suspicions. I have to see if I can check that video out because I haven't seen the footage that you're talking about.
It was on the news. And also, can I make another point?
Yes, ma'am.
During the period of captivity, they used to lynch our people in front of crowds. They used to force the crowd to stand and watch the lynching. And that was a way of subjugating the people, a way of making them feel fearful. These shootings that these police officers that are supposed to be there to protect and serve the community is exactly the same as lynching, as far as I can see. You know, how this is the people that's supposed to protect you. If you can't go to those people that's supposed to protect you, then you've got nowhere to go. And that's the way I see it.
I think quite a few other folks have come to a similar conclusion. I think Isabel Wilkerson, the lovely Isabel Wilkerson, black journalist, author of The Warmth of Other Suns, she has an essay which is that is the theme of her essay, pretty much, that these police killings and the video of them, it serves the exact same function as lynchings, both in perpetuating fear, black fear, And then the entertainment and almost, yeah, it is. It's entertainment of Black Death, making a sport out of it, or amusement out of violence, lethal violence against Black people. In that vein, Mr. Fox, before I get your commentary, he just tweeted to me at Until Justice on Twitter, at Until Justice. Mr. Fox tweeted an article. This is in the Guardian today, and it's got the video in the article, which I'm not going to watch. Death of Black teenager in police custody sparks protests in Liverpool. Protests have been held in Liverpool following the death of a Black teenager while he was detained by Merseyside police. Mezi Mohammed was detained following unconfirmed reports that he was acting in an aggressive and erratic manner and carrying a knife in the Liverpool One shopping center. In a video footage that has emerged since Mohammed's death, he is seen lying face down, barefoot, surrounded by paramedics and police officers wearing blue plastic gloves. He's lying motionless, apparently unconscious, and appears to have his hands cuffed behind his back while he is being treated by paramedics. I have seen, heard this about 8 billion times in life. This is worldwide war against Black people, but I'm putting this on my Facebook page now. I retweeted from Mr. Fox. Mr. Fox, commentary you wanted to add either about the alleged coup in Turkey or anything else that we have discussed?
Regarding the Turkey coup, I don't know much about it, but anytime I hear anything like this, I always just think of white people. Straight away, I just think of white people. What are they up to there? They must know about it or have planned it. So when it comes to that, it's just basically when I get around to looking at it and more information comes out, I could actually make an assertion on it. Regarding the article I sent you, what happened in Liverpool, stuff like that happens in England regularly. We die in the police cells at a rate of, I think it's like 2 a week. So as a lot of Black people are always focused on the deaths in America with the shootings, our police officers don't have guns. So when we actually die in their custody, it's always in their police cell. So, we don't die in as big a numbers as our brothers and sisters do in the Americas, but the mistreatment is different, but still is still there. And that goes through all over Europe.
For sure. Global system. In Norway. Oh, man, I messed it up again. I was trying to be correct. In Austria, African 1884. In Austria. Did you have a concluding comment either about the situation in Turkey or anything else you want to make sure you share with our audience?
Yes, I did. I just want to say that what I tried to tell the African Black people here is that we should not look at America as an isolated situation. The same thing is happening also in Germany, in Austria, in France, in Italy, all over Europe. The many African people that are dying at the hands of police, but it's not very well documented or reported. You know, so let's not just focus on what's happening in America, but also in Europe. The cases that have been, like I said, not being very well documented. Here in Austria recently, there was a young Somalian that was found dead in the Danube River, and nothing, no investigation, nothing. It's over, you know. The whole thing was not followed up, yeah? And the same thing, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, I ask people to please try and stretch out that hashtag, because we tend to forget what's happening in the south of Sudan. All this is happening under the system of racism, white supremacy. And if we talk about Black Lives Matter, then we should stretch out that hashtag. What's happening to Black people in Papua New Guinea? All these are cases that are happening right now, but the focus tends to divert for the most part on America. And I think due to the fact that you have this movement called the Black Lives Matter has a backing of a lot of white people, then that's why maybe the focus is there in the media. But let's stretch out the hashtag. Let's make sure if we talk about Black Lives Matter, it also reflects what's happening in South of Sudan, Papua New Guinea, and also in other countries in Europe. Thank you.
Well said.
Well said.
Let's see. Mary, in the UK, did you have a commentary you wanted to make sure you got it before we wrap up the situation in Turkey, or anything else you wanted to make sure you share with our audience?
I just encourage everyone to stay safe. That's about it.
Short to the point. I can definitely co-sign on that. Stay as safe as possible. Our he is part of our international audience. Minimize, I guess, because he participates on a regular basis, and it's not that much of a time difference. But our caller in Canada, did you have anything you wanted to make sure you got in before we wrap up, either the situation in Turkey or just anything that you want to make sure you leave our audience to think about before we get ready to wrap things up?
Nope, I don't have anything.
Right on. We will be here tomorrow. I do feel like it's enough important things going on that we certainly could have done longer, but this is supposed to be a shorter broadcast. We get right to the point, share whatever people need to share, and then conclude. Because we will be back tomorrow. We'll be here normal time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Norm Stamper, suspected race soldier, will be here. I am very, very much looking forward to hearing his thoughts, both on, because this is a white man who wore a uniform, and not just a badge and a gun. He had his badge, his gun, and his quote-unquote nigger knocker. He said that was how he was trained as an enforcement official. Get your nigger knocker and go in there and grab the biggest black person, and you bring him out here. We're going to beat him down and take him to jail. He said that's how he was trained in California. But I am looking forward to asking him about the robot situation used with a detonator to blow up a black male, literally. I'm looking forward to asking about that, how these shootings are going to impact the average white person, male or female, with a gun roaming the streets and their interactions with black people, why there is such disproportionate coverage when it is reported that a black person has shot and killed an enforcement official. White people kill enforcement officers all the time. M1 talked about this yesterday. There was a white guy, white rapist no less, who shot and killed two bailiffs not even 7 days ago in Michigan. And they have totally, they have nothing to say about that. Nothing. They talked about it for about 30 minutes when it was big story, like, oh man, this just happened. And then as soon as it was, oh, a white rapist did, oh, never mind, back to the niggers and Black Lives Matter, they're terrorists. Why is there such disproportionate coverage when a white person goes out and kills an enforcement official, because they do this way more often than black people? Lots of questions. We'll be looking forward to talking to him tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Mr. Norm Stamper. And he has been everywhere the last week. He was on Democracy Now!, he was on NPR, he was on NPR. He has been all over the place promoting his book, and people want to get his opinion on all of these police shootings and what have you. If you have questions, comments, guest suggestions, problems, accessing any of the archives or accessing material, feel free to drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com, on Twitter @untiljustice. Feel free, you can hit us on the Facebook page as well. Feel free, if you're having any issues accessing the program or finding things in the archives, just let me know. We will try to respond ASAP. We'll be looking forward to hearing from folks tomorrow. I will again say worldwide, I encourage sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. Given everything that is happening right now, you want to be able to think clearly at all times so we can make the best possible decisions to keep ourselves as safe as possible. If you are intoxicated, you are just making the job of the Daniel Holtzclaws, Darren Wilsons, the race soldiers of the world. You're making their job way easier. You never know when you're in a vehicle, even as a pedestrian, when you're going to be stopped and you have to have contact with an armed racist, badge or no, enforcement officer or civilian. You being intoxicated makes that situation way worse. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers. Buckle up every time you are in a vehicle. Anything that we can do to try to keep ourselves safe, let's do that. We will be back in about 24 hours. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in all over the world. Hope it has been a constructive investment of your time and energy. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed. I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.